listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
One love, the thing that hasn't changed. My parents lost their job. It's so cold in the A. Now that I'm 1%, I send most of it home. I want a stunt, but she need to pay off her student loans. And everybody saying, get it, why you hitting, man? We want that harder beast, that 808, you slipping, man? Dude, I'm so stupid. Popping anything, they hand me all the parking lot. Pimping, politicking in Miami at the home of the D. Where they sell that cake batter. Heard a voice in the back. Hate that all the fake rappers that I... Shit it on. Rap your soul, dude. Let the mic blaze. Show them A-Town, East Side all day. I put it on. Hey, welcome to the Black Out Test podcast. Your host, Rod and
Aaron.
And we're in the house on a Monday after the BET Awards.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite events of the year.
Yeah, it's the only award show I actually look forward to.
Only one I watch through its entirety. I don't be changing the channel. Mm-hmm. I be watching commercials.
Yes.
I don't be seeing what else is on. All the people I think should win end up fucking winning because it's black people picking and ain't no white people out here diluting the pot trying to pick they faves like that matter. So I absolutely was here for all of it. And we're gonna talk about it today.
Yes.
We'll talk about as much as we can remember. You know, we try to do a pretty thorough breakdown. But first of all, of course, is the Blackout Tips. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search blackouttips.com. Leave us a search for the Blackout Tips on iTunes and Stitcher. Leave us 5-star reviews, and if we like them, we'll read them on the air as long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And an unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. That is correct, guys. It is bullet ball extreme time because we all know that life can get a little extreme out there.
It sure can.
And what are you going to need to get you through extreme life? Bullet ball. Mm-hmm. That's what we use here at the Blackout Tips. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about, like I said. First things first, I guess we should kind of get to the sponsors. I haven't played a sponsor. I haven't done the sponsor in a while. Let's see here. I need some sexy music for this sponsor. So I got to wait for this to load up. Come through whenever you're ready to, title, okay? Mm-hmm. Adam and Eve is determined to help you spice things up in the bedroom. And they are backing up that promise. Because there's going to be a lot of things backing up. If you know what I'm saying.
Ah, yes it is.
Check it out. Go to adamandeve.com. You can get 50% off of almost any item when you enter offer code TBGWT at checkout. Is that all? No, that's not all. That's a good deal, but it's not good enough for our listeners. Now backed by popular demand for a limited time only, they will give you for absolutely the cost of free 99. The Big O Kit. Yes, I'm not talking about the anime. Who doesn't love the Big O? That's right. The O here stands for orgasm, guys. It's a mini vibrator. It comes with exclusive climax gel to help everybody get off. So all you got to do to get that. Oh, wait, it's more. You can also get free shipping. I forgot to tell you that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of the offer. Get it sent to you for free. AdamandEve.com. Go to the checkout box. Put in code TBGWT for the offer code. Big O Kit. Free shipping. Get half off of whatever the fuck you want to buy to put inside you or on you or around you. Like, this is what life is about, y'all. TBGWT at AdamandEve.com. All right. Let's get into some other stuff, guys. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So much stuff is happening. What's the best way to talk about the BET Awards?
You go through your tweets, don't you?
Yeah, I guess I can do that. But one thing I did want to address before we got here, it's almost in fucking with black people news, but I won't call it that exactly, but this is like a preface to the BET Awards, okay? So, Sunday morning I got up and, you know, Sunday morning, we do the show with my dad. Mm-hmm. But Sunday morning Twitter is by far the littest that Twitter will get, and the most animosity, the most.
For the whole week, I don't know what it is about Sunday morning.
The hottest takes, the, like, everybody should be in church, and I guess the heathens don't go, so they just tweet, and then that's when the hottest takes, the biggest arguments,
all the saved, sanctified folks gone, they going to Bible study in Sunday school.
Right, so, I noticed, but didn't necessarily care that much, because there's an argument about appropriation, and y'all know how I feel about that. It's somewhat confusing to me, unless it's blatantly over the top disrespectful. I don't really even care about it, to be honest. Like, it's gotta be damn near like fake plastic booties on people that's twerking with blackface before I'm like, oh shit, don't do that, before I'm like, you know, like every once in a while, like something will happen, I'm just kind of like, hey, I don't really care that much. But at the same time, I also know that I don't care enough to be telling people that they shouldn't care.
Right.
You know, I think that, you know, that's kind of whack. But yeah, there was this huge argument about appropriation Sunday morning. And, you know, it was one of those things where I, didn't know where it came from or whatever exactly. I knew it was going to be a whole thing. And, it was about Bruno Mars.
Okay, I didn't know what that was about. All I know is I woke up and I just seen him trending.
Yeah, he was trending on Twitter. Now, here's the thing. I don't think he was trending because, you know, so many people agree with this take and they had to start spreading it around. It seemed that he was trending because people were defending him and people were just talking about it in general and people were fussing about it, making jokes.
I just seen his name.
It's kind of like Bernie So Black, where people assumed that it trended because Black people were so mad, but it's like actually it trended because white people got so fucking offended that they started tweeting about it. They tried to take over that. They did all kinds of crazy shit. And I'm like, I didn't think this would be a national trend or a global trend, but apparently it is, because y'all couldn't just take the jokes and leave it at that, you know?
Right.
Anyway, so this woman, and I'm friends with her on social media. I don't know, like, I don't know if we've really interacted that much, but I mean, it's always been cool between us, you know. But she said, I really need y'all to stop with the Bruno Mars praise and be more critical about the ways we understand appropriation. By the way, only reason I'm not saying her Twitter handle is because, I mean, obviously, if you know already, but I'm not trying to send nobody trolling her way. I'm not trying to send people to, because I know I've been in that situation where I tweet something and then fucking weeks later people are still being like, listen, you stupid ass motherfucker. I'm like, really, dog? I'm actually talking about cereal today. Like, today I'm just talking about, I like Captain Crunch and I gotta get called out my name and all kinds of coons and shit. And, you know, I'm sure she went through it yesterday, because anytime you have an opinion that people disagree with, or even if they agree with it but it goes viral, that means a bunch of people will see it who disagree, you end up in the center of a shit storm where everybody talking shit about you.
Correct.
Whether they know you or not.
Right.
assuming all kinds of motives and all kinds of shit. Now, I think it's only fair here to add that I'm not a huge Bruno Mars fan. Now, that doesn't mean I dislike him. I actually, when I see him perform, I always think he's dope. Consummate performer. I think his Super Bowl halftime performance, he stole the show. Every time I've seen him, I like, I've never been bothered by that dude. I've never thought twice about him in a negative light. He seemed like a cool dude just from the little bit that I know, but I very surface knowledge of this dude, you know. I know a couple of his songs, you know, that's about it. So all right, so she said, I really need y'all to stop with this Bruno Mars praise and be more critical about the ways we understand appropriation. Now, I will say the framing and the phrase in there is completely argumentative. Whether you want to, you know, you could say, well, I was just speaking for myself or whatever, but you're clearly, anytime it kind of passively aggressively tells people what they got to do,
it becomes a problem.
People take it personal, you know, because you're now giving instructions and essentially to Black people to say that we, y'all, not me, y'all Black people need to stop praising Bruno Mars. Like, that's, you're not gonna have people that think that he's talented not praise his talent for whatever. Like, that's kind of an unreasonable expectation. But also, as people read that are fans of Bruno Mars, they immediately are ready to fight about it. You're not, you know, it's a confrontational way to frame it.
Mm-hmm.
And be more critical about the ways we understand appropriation. So obviously then it's kind of, people probably took it personal, like, oh, you trying to say I don't understand what appropriation is. Then she had like a thread. Bruno Mars does not identify as black. Let's get that clear at the outset. He is not a black person. He's a non-black person of color, PLC, who has recently decided that singing funk music is economically productive. Now, from my understanding, the people that are fans of him are like, he's been doing that shit his whole life.
And constantly shout out all the black people.
And pay the people that was inspired by, even.
Right, like, he tell you, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for these people. So it's not like he's coming in, stripping from the culture, and just not acknowledging anything.
Yeah, and I don't know how you can frame it as he just recently decided that it's gonna make him money. Like, that, I don't know.
He's been around for very long.
It sounds like
he's
put in a lifetime of fucking work to do this. Not, like, I think sometimes with these discussions, there's people like Justin Timberlake, Miley Cyrus, where they haven't been doing this shit their whole career. And they get to a point where they're like, I need to do something new. And they put on blackness as like a cloak for a couple years. And then they go back to whiteness after that runs its course.
Right.
There's that. Where I kind of get the, like, oh, you just decided it was economically feasible for you to just pretend that you are down with black people, but you really aren't down with us like that. This doesn't seem to be that to me, but like I said, I'm a surface level fan. I saw other people that were fans of him being like, yeah, he's not that. That's definitely not his career path. These claims that Bruno was bringing funk back are a race of a black funk artist who pioneered the tradition. Funk never left. Yes, he gives credit to funk artists on occasion. He also has a primarily white audience, which has no memory or care for black artists. Well, there's two parts of that. One, the bringing funk back thing. Well, you know, I'll say that for the end because, you know, that's on some other shit. But the part about white people not caring, I think as black people, or no, I'll speak for myself. I don't give a fuck what white people think.
Mm-mm.
And it's very important that to me that it that is my number one operating procedure, because white people are never going to be okay with us.
Nope.
They're never going to be fair to us. They're never going to be considerate to us. It wouldn't matter if Bruno Mars was black and just as famous. They still don't give a fuck about our culture that way. And it's not his fault, it's not your fault, it's not black people's fault. It's just white people don't give a fuck. And
we'll buy entertainment. That's nothing new.
Yeah, the whole appropriation thing in many cases just comes down to the idea that it's white supremacy.
Right.
And there's no one artist or any group of fans that control white supremacy. We can't stop it. And we, you know, like, for example, it's just bigger than us. It's just bigger than black people, to be honest. It's not our problem. We didn't do it. We have to deal with the results of it. But it's not even an artist's problem. It's the same thing like when I said with Ta-Nehisi Coates, where people get mad at Ta-Nehisi Coates because white people read Ta-Nehisi Coates. Well, I mean, there's plenty of other black scholars and academics that write about race, but for some reason, the one that they want to hear is Ta-Nehisi Coates. People might even be more, he'll say people are more eloquent than me. He'll say people are more knowledgeable than me. He will cite people and be like, they should also talk to this person. In his book, he will give you a list of books that you should read that inform his work, and people still, white people for the most part, still go, I don't want to read that.
And you can't make them, nor can you force them.
It doesn't matter what he says. Right. And so in that case, it's not really anything Bruno Mars can do about it. It's not really his fault. The problem is white supremacy. So it's almost like you're judging the symptom of white supremacy,
right,
as if it's the disease. But the disease is white supremacy. It's, we will buy something black if it's not a black person attached to it. That's just them. That's what they do. That's the evil of them. It's not his fault. It's a world he's navigating as well. And in my opinion, doing an admirable job of coping with it as much as he can, if not even overcompensating to a certain extent, you know, cause he does have talent. He is out there performing, even if it's not his, culture necessarily. You know, culture is one of those things where in many cases it is made to be consumed and spread across the world. It is infectious. It is intoxicating. People do share cultures with each other and stuff. Like, there's parts of it like that, but I feel like everyone starts treating cultures, well, I shouldn't say started, but a lot of people have been treating culture as if it's like sacred passed down traditions between, like, for example, they treat music as if music is like bar mitzvah. Like, a bar mitzvah is a Jewish tradition that Jewish people do for Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meant for just me to have a bar mitzvah. I'm not, you know, a bat mitzvah or whatever. I'm not Jewish. Like, right. You know, but people treat everything like everything's not like that.
No, it's not.
You know, many of these artists, you know, in addition to appreciating this dude for looking out for them, but they also appreciate somebody carrying the torch. They appreciate other artists carrying the torch. They love seeing the influence they have on people. They don't, you know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like we've lost sight of that, or as sometimes it feels like people lose sight of that too. Like, that is tradition as well. The blending of sounds, the creating of new sounds, you know, the way that the G-funk informs, you know, funk informs the G-funk, and you get the Chronic and all this shit, and the way that, you know, funk also informed, organized noise, and we get all the Southern, you know, playlist of Cadillac music sound. Like, we get this, you know, these original, but they all got it from somebody somewhere.
Right.
Like, no one invented any of this shit by themselves. And I always felt like it's kind of made to be spread. And it just sucks that it goes out into this world where people really will be like, well, now that I heard so-and-so do it, I'm going to just not even care that black people started this. Like, it sucks. It really does. But there's also nothing that can be done about that. You know, because I always feel like, what's the end result of this? Should no one that's not of that culture be able to do that music?
Right, or buy it, or purchase it, or enjoy it? That makes no sense.
Like, is the right, quote-unquote, way that an audience should look, a black audience doing black music for black people, and nobody else is in the room? Is that what it should be? I don't know. I don't have the answer. I legitimately wonder sometimes, like, what is the end result of the argument? You know, because it's always, you know, I do kind of go like, okay, so let's look at the solution, because I understand what the problem is. Where do we go from here? You know,
right? And everybody views this different, but in my mind, there is no solution, because that's not realistic. Right. That right there cannot happen. And the thing about people that create, you create shit and you put it out into the world, and whoever consumes it, and you have no control. Sometimes they look like you, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they speak your same language, sometimes they don't. And I personally don't have a problem with that at all.
You know, the other thing too is, if, like, okay, because I, you know, I'll say that for the end too. Let me write that down, because I'm gonna go into why black people are the shit about this, and we'll get into that in a second. But I do think the problem is basically white people consuming shit just don't give a fuck. Also, Bruno is just an example of somebody who does put back into the community. So it's like, this is more of a, like, if it's, you know what, this is like when Dan Le Batard said Magic Johnson shouldn't just go get a job as a GM of the Lakers. And it's like, well, if you say that about Magic Johnson, essentially people are gonna call you racist. And they go, well, why are you calling him racist? He just said Magic Johnson shouldn't. Because if it's not Magic, then no black player meets the qualifications. Because Magic is the player. He's the best business acumen. He's the most publicly relatable. He's the most well liked. He has the most storied history, basketball wise and stuff. Like, there's just all this shit where it's like, if you don't fuck with him, then nobody. Like, so that's essentially, to me, it's like, Bruno is the line for a lot of people, where it's like, so if not Bruno, then nobody, right?
Right. Right.
Just black people can only do black music, and black people can only listen to black music, and never the twain shall mix.
Right. And so for most people, they just go, okay, I got to dismiss what you're saying, because you sound fucking crazy, and what you're saying, it's not realistic. And I do understand you might not like Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars might not be your cup of tea. And I don't have a problem with you not liking Bruno Mars. Most people that love Bruno Mars don't give a fuck if you like him or not. That's not the problem. But when you put out something public, you're going to have a public response.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that is definitely a controversial thing to say, and most people are going to just mock you for it. I'm not trying to mock her for it, to be honest. Mm-mm. Because, like, I you know, it's that thing I'll talk about where there's slight degrees of variation in opinion, where we both kind of agree that there's a problem, and then people kind of attack the person for disagreeing slightly. Like, I don't feel like what she's saying is so, like, people were really acting like you damn coon, Uncle Tom, like that type of shit. And I'm like, I mean, other than that first tweet, which I do feel like comes off as very judgmental of black people, like, y'all black people,
and that's what make people mad,
are letting Bruno get a pass, and it's y'all's fault. Yeah. It, like, it kind of comes off a little like that. I don't know that she necessarily meant it like that or not, but as a way to start, like, that's why that one tweet got everybody mad, because they immediately took offense, because it's like, I feel like you as a black woman are judging all us other black people.
Right.
And maybe she is. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But,
right, but
it's
but,
like, you're blaming us basically for white supremacy.
Right, which is something we have no control over, something that we didn't create. So it's not our problem to fix it. And it's one of those things where black people are constantly judged no matter what you do. We get judged from black people. We get judged all across the board. And so black people are very sensitive to that, and I don't blame them for it. Right. But we're like, hey, what you ain't gonna do is tell me what the fuck I'm gonna like and not like and love and not love. That's what you not gonna do today. And that's what, because it's like, you came, the tone matters. The tone matters a lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, and she says, yes, he gives credit to funk artists on occasion. He also has a primarily white audience with no memory or care for black artists. In Bruno's case, bringing funk back essentially means funk was a black thing, and now I'm giving it to white people. That's appropriation. I need us to stop relaxing our critical lens on anti-blackness and appropriation when it's non-black POC harming us. By the way, that's always a conflicting thought to me, because it's like, if you're judging the majority of blackness that gives him the quote-unquote pass, is that also too not anti-black to then be like, the majority of y'all niggas, y'all are the problem for letting this dude, I need y'all to stop letting this dude work, you know? Yeah, what I mean.
And also, I'm gonna tell you the truth, I thought he was just a high yellow light-skinned black man for a very long time. I'm not gonna lie, I don't know who else thought that, but I was like, oh,
a lot of people did.
That's
think
a
that.
Cool light-skinned black dude.
Yeah, he's Filipino, I believe, something like that. So yeah, he's not black, you know, and he doesn't
right?
identify as black, and he's not trying to pass as black. So he said, she said, she says, the Bruno Mars praise is also patriarchal, because some of y'all were giving Eminem, Justin Timberlake, and Robin Thicke passes too. Stop it. That's a little weird too, because I don't think Eminem should really be grouped with Justin Timberlake and Robin Thicke, in my opinion. Mm-mm. And also, I think Justin Timberlake and Robin Thicke, we literally watched them have a career that was very white, put on blackness for some years, and then be like, and I'm done with blackness. I think it's different for those people, because they're like interlopers, you know, like, unless there's just some secret Bruno Mars shit where he was just out here, you know, doing all this like super white music, I don't know how he would get grouped with them. And also, there are white women that have come into blackness and shown appreciation for it and gotten that quote unquote pass, whether it be like Pink, whether it be Tina Marie. Mm-hmm. There's women that have gotten that pass too, that we've let, you know, slide because of, we feel like they appreciate the culture, not just take from the culture. And the reason that people came for Timberlake and Thicke is that they don't think they appreciate the culture. It seems simple. Taking our shit and repackaging it for white people is not innovation, even if these non-black people sing well, it's appropriation, period. Listen, you can like Bruno Mars' music and still be critical about how his role in the industry erases black people then and now. I always think that's interesting, because is his role erasing black people, or are black people just going to be erased? You could kill Bruno Mars tomorrow and white people aren't going to come over to the black people no matter what.
Right.
You know, it feels like focusing on, like I said, it's like saying, Ta-Nehisi Coates erases black women. Does he erase the black women, or do they never come over to black women no matter who the fuck standing there? If it's not him, then it's gonna be another nigga, because they never ever ever gonna fuck with us directly. They're never gonna fuck with black people directly. There's always gotta be some fucking intermediary between the blackness, and it's been that way forever, and Bruno Mars is just it for some people today, but okay. It would always be something.
Yes, sir.
You know, Iggy is a good example of somebody that white people let cook that black people never did, and it didn't matter.
Right.
Like she got rich to the tunes of millions, because it just they never coming over to all the way to the black side. Anyway, she says, B made a legit country song. That is lit. Country folks, nah. Bruno sings funk music. Y'all, he brought it back. Well, one of the things too, didn't Beyonce get nominated for an award for that at the Country Music Awards? So I don't know if that's nah. I wouldn't call that nah. It got played on the country music radio too, so I wouldn't call that nah. Matter of fact, didn't the Dixie Chicks perform her song?
Yes, they did. We played a video on the show.
Yeah, so yeah, I wouldn't, that's not a nah. I think nah is she can't perform, or she can't even get nominated. I think that would be more of a nah. White folks having an attitude about black music though, that's not something that needs to be imitated. And that's kind of where I'm getting to at the end of this, but we'll get to it. The irony is Bruno Mars did Elvis Presley impressions as a child, the man who stole blues, and now he appropriates funk, y'all. Bruno's first album. Oh man, that's funny, because like as a child we going that far back on people, because yeah, all right, going all the way back to childhood. Bruno's first album, Doo Wop and Hooligans, appropriated doo wop. Funk is the music that's so central to his life growing up. Which is it? Okay. All right. You know what? That's a good point. I never heard Doo Wop and Hooligans. Maybe that shit is, maybe that's trash. I don't know. Who invented doo wop? You know? Also, him making a doo wop album, does that mean he didn't listen to any funk as a kid either?
Right.
I don't know. I do have personal feelings about this guy. The whole industry is a race of inappropriative of black people, but let's be honest about it. I don't have personal feelings, she says. I guarantee if Bruno Mars was femme or identified as a woman, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Y'all let men get away with it a lot. Y'all, once again. If, like Bruno Mars, if you want, people still like Timberlake, R. Kelly, Robin Thicke, Dre, Eminem, a lot of other men too. That's on you. I hope Moore's Day and the Time see some sustained coins from Bruno Mars, giving them quote unquote credit. I hope Chaka Khan and Earth, Wind & Fire get some bags from all this Bruno Mars quote unquote credit y'all stay hollering about. Okay, at this point, it sound like, in my opinion, she probably was getting roasted. So she started kind of responding pejoratively to the responses. You know, which happens, because, you know, you human. Like, you're not going to have somebody call you out your name 57 times and then be like, but I'm going to hold it together and I'm going to stay above the front. Like, nah, fuck y'all niggas. You know, I'm going to add to my argument if you petty with it. Hope Rick James Estate and George Clinton get some dollars from all this credit Bruno Mars gives them. Hope Kool and the Gang get some cheese off all these credits Bruno Mars give them. Bruno Mars' dad and the one who apparently loves funk had a 50s music review with Elvis Presley music prominent in the show. Mars was in it. I don't really, and then someone said, and I'm truly genuinely asking, you're not attacking him personally, you're making a valid critique, just asking how can you be better. And she says, I don't think it's about being better per se, but I do think he can speak more candidly about how his role affects black funk artists. That person said, I think that's fair, I don't think it's too much to ask either. I wonder if it occurred to him to do that, same with the others. I don't think fans asking him to honestly as a business model, what he's doing is quite profitable. Uncritical fans are why. So she is blaming it on the fans, and it seems specifically like the black fans.
Yeah, and I might be wrong, and like this is just my perspective. A lot of this, basically, in my opinion, this whole argument was, I'm tired of your fave. Mm-hmm. Like this is basically like if somebody came at Beyonce, like you was like, well, y'all fave, and the rest of your argument was based off of that. You know, I'm tired of white supremacy, so let me find a way to get that argument out there and use your fave as an example, because I don't like your fave.
Right.
And when you do that, yes, you're gonna get pushback. No, nobody's going, a lot of people are going to disagree with you. You know, it's no personal attacks on my part, but that's all I heard from her whole conversation, you know, because it didn't really sound like, in my opinion, you're demanding us as fans to not support anybody that's not black, and you're blaming us for white supremacy, and you're blaming us for loving somebody making music this black base is not black. We're the problem, not the white supremacy, not the industry, not everything else surrounded about it. And so what you're trying, you want us to correct something that was never our problem to fix. Mm-hmm. And yes, people are gonna get mad, yes, people are gonna get upset, yes, people are gonna tell you that they disagree. And in my personal opinion, you started off with the hand clap emotions in most people's minds. So they're like, oh, you want to fight, let's fight. And that's where it went. Tone matters. You started off on 10 and people came at 10, and it was like that for hours.
Yeah, I think like you said, the framing of that first, like, y'all and we, like, I think that shit always is gonna stir up people, because you're definitely framing yourself as above everybody else.
Come on, I'm one of the special ones. I'm not the ones. I don't follow the clique. I don't like y'all fave, whoever the fave is. People love that shit, and it's one of the people go, well, he's my fave, so what you ain't gonna do is talk about him. And then the war starts.
Well, also, more importantly than you're not gonna talk about him, a lot, she was talking about black people that are fans of this dude. Like, if you're being honest, like, it wouldn't matter who it is. It's basically, you're saying you black people are fucking it up because y'all are fans of him. I think that matters, you know. The things I would say, because I don't really give a fuck, to be honest, about Bruno Mars, and that's not a disrespect to him. I don't really know what that man thinks or what he does. It's always, what I do care about is black people, okay? One of the things she cited was this the country people not fucking with Beyonce, right? Now, in all fairness, you know, that's a little bit, that depends on how you view it, right? Like, it's not like she didn't get nominated. It's not like they didn't, her song wasn't performed there and all that shit. But what I'll say is this: white people are not the bar we should measure blackness by. We cannot replace black shit with the way white people operate. That will never work, and I don't want to be a part of that. We are better than that as black people. The way we currently operate is better than the fucking shit white people do. Like, us having the heart to let people in, us having the heart to take all of the quote unquote stragglers and all the people that all the people that we look at and we go, that person's not one of us, but they love us and they show appreciation for us and they don't disrespect us, so we gonna let them rock with us. That is some black shit. And also, that's the best part of black shit. It's the best part of blackness. Like, I'm not taking that away from anybody, you know. And I mean, it's unrealistic to expect us to stop because of whoever the artist is, but that's the best shit. It's why we are so fucking resilient. Like, we have no reason to still be that way. After everything we've been through in this country, we have no reason to ever feel like someone can come into our culture and kick it with us and we accept them. We've been betrayed so many times. We've been backstabbed. We've had our shit, like, abused. We've been systematically destroyed so many times. But I'm like, that's not a culture I want to be a part of. I love that we're like, that white boy can rap. That is fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because when you join white culture and you're a person of color, or you're not a white person, not a white male or whatever, you always have to give up something in your identity. Mm-hmm. You always have to give something up. You always have to be like, I'm gonna go over here. Well, now let me adopt your anti-blackness too. So I gotta be a black person that doesn't like black people, then I can hang out with white people. I gotta be if I'm half black, half white, and I wanna kick it with white people, I have to accept that they will forever be like, well, you know, you're really black, and we're just allowing you to be over here. Like, I gotta always accept that I'm never in there. You know, we look at the people that go to whiteness and flourish and get propped up. they always have some fucked up political agenda where they have to like hate everybody else in order to do it. It's always like Sage Steele is seen as like the acceptable black woman, but Sage Steele gotta hate black people to be accepted by white people, you know. So it, to me, I always felt like that's what's wrong with whiteness, and that's why I don't think they're any level of a litmus test, because they wouldn't let somebody come over there and do that shit unless they had political beliefs and shit that were anti, like, you can be a black country singer, but your ass better never talk about politics, and if you do, you better not be on some Black Lives Matter shit, you better not be on some police violence is fuck, you better, all your songs better be about, we just go out, drink and hang out with my friends, I love America, you better be like that. That's all you can do, you know what I mean? Like, or they will fucking get rid of your ass, you know. That's not a good thing, you know, like, so that was one of the things I was thinking about. The other thing is, we really have this melting pot in America, quote unquote, that black people, we bond with other people of color in a way that no other race does.
Correct.
You know, think about how much hip-hop and kung fu influence each other. You know, think about how much kung fu influenced the 70s and 80s for black people. You know, like Black Belt Jones, you know, Jim Kelly, where you're looking at the Wu-Tang Clan and shit like that, where it's like and then look at how much hip-hop has influenced the world and influenced other cultures of color. You know, when I hear like Japanese rap, when we go to
oh, I love that
when
place.
We see K-pop, mm-hmm. we've talked about that
K-pop
before.
Was lit.
We've gone to what's the name of that place we go, that restaurant we go mm-hmm. to, and they'll play K-pop, and there's rap, and they're like rap videos, and there's like Asian people, and they're like, you know, some of them sound like Drake, some of them sound like Kendrick, some of them sound like some fucking gangster ass niggas. Like, I love that. We are the coolest. We are, our cool is our most enviable trait, and also our most intangible trait. They can never take it from us. I don't worry about them taking shit, because they can't take it from us, you know. It's impossible. For no one's ever gonna be cooler than us. They can just look like they're trying to be us anyway. But there's some people that show so much appreciation for the culture that I always feel like that's why they get a quote-unquote pass. It's not because we just giving out passes. It's like, nobody gave a pass to Iggy. How come nobody gave a pass to Iggy? You think it's just because she's a woman? Nobody gave a pass to Chet Hanks either. You know what I mean? Like it takes something to get that quote unquote pass where people like, you better be supremely fucking talented. Eminem got by on pure fucking talent. Like, people was just like, this fucking white boy can rap. Like, even when you hate him, you sitting up there like, motherfucker can rap though. Bet you won't diss him.
Right.
Bet you won't catch that diss verse back and end up having it in your career, you know. Like, we influence people, you know, we don't like there, and obviously we're not a monolith. There's some black people that are gonna be like, fuck that shit, that's fine, but they honestly, they're such a minority, and more importantly, it ain't shit we can do about it. So that's the, like, ultimately that's why I can't even be mad at people when they like, well, fuck that, I don't think nobody not black should make, I'm okay, cool. Then I guess just be mad all the time, because it's never gonna stop. It's literally impossible to stop, and it's not your fault, and it's not up to black people to stop it. It has nothing to do with us, to be honest. You know, if motherfuckers, and like I said, Bruno seems to be doing the quote unquote best job possible of that, of the impossible task that people always give of like, well, if you're gonna appropriate in this culture, you gotta pass this bar, else it's appropriation. Well, he's doing all the shit people swear that's what you got to do, and they still don't, and some people still not gonna fuck with him. It mm-hmm. just is what it is,
right?
You know, you get that popular, you get that famous, some people are not gonna ever fuck with you, and
no,
it just,
matter what you do. And I sometimes, just being a human being, that's very hard to swallow. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you get to the point where you go, okay, some people, no matter what you do, is gonna be fuck you. I've never met you, don't know nothing about you, you don't know nothing about me. It's just for the fact that you tired of hearing about me, so it's fuck me.
Yeah, and also, like, we definitely just, like I said, when Beyonce was dancing in that Coldplay video and she had on the, like, Indian goddess garb, you know how many black people I saw defending her right to do that shit? That was straight up like, y'all will not come for my queen. Y'all motherfuckers gonna, you know, and even Indian people were like, y'all need to leave Beyonce alone. Y'all know that that is not something that only Indian people do, blah, blah, blah. We've had other Bollywood actresses that aren't, you know, from here that come and do that and sell all this. Like, I remember that big ass discussion, and I said the same thing then that I'm saying now, which is, ultimately, I don't know that I understand the appropriation arguments, but more importantly, even to the fullest extent of the argument, I don't know that it matters. Like, I just don't think you can stop it. I think you can only voice your displeasure of it, and then what?
Right, and in my opinion, a lot of it is almost similar to feminism. Everybody got their lines. Yeah. And that's that, like, and that's, you know, and that's where the quote unquote sometimes the confusion comes in. I'm okay with this, but I'm not alright with this. Right. This person can do anything they want to, but not this person. So it and all that shit varies across the board, when at the end of the day, all cultures cross as far as like entertainment and all that stuff, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, it's all gonna cross.
Yeah, and I don't think this sister needed to be attacked because of her opinion. Like I said, I saw people talking about it and was like, yeah, whatever, moved on.
That's me.
Yeah, so I feel like I wish more people would do stuff like that, where it's just like, I don't agree, but
I'm not gonna argue with you.
You know, like, this person has an opinion that it didn't change the world. Mm-mm. It's not gonna break the internet. It's like, it's just y'all being mad that's making it trend. You know what I mean? Like, she's gonna, you know, she has a right to her opinion and the fucking string together her thoughts that way. And if that's the, you know, sometimes and I think this is true of almost everybody, you can always string together the worst possible motivations on a person. And if that's what you choose to believe, then that's your truth.
Right, regardless of if it's the truth or not. And yeah, sometimes.
But I'm saying, like, I'm not saying if it's the truth or not. Here's what I'm saying. Like, for example, when people say stuff like, oh, that dude's just a feminist because he trying to get pussy, or he just want to get clicks, or I can't disprove that. No one can disprove that. If, you know, oh, they just say that shit because they want to make money off of woke Twitter. You just say that shit because you don't believe it, but you just act like you like gay people because da 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 da. No one can disprove you saying that. So if you decide that that's my mentality, only thing I can do is just eat it. Just like, okay, that's what you think. I got to live my life regardless of what you think anyway. To me, that's kind of what's up with this. Like, what's he supposed to do? You know, what is anybody supposed to do? What if all black people decided we're not listening to Bruno Mars no more? Would that end all appropriation? Is that gonna end his career? Is that, like, what is the goal? You know, and like I said, sometimes I think about this shit with black people because I'm like, I don't know. I'm always wary of these type of judgments of black people and these critiques of black people because it's always kind of positions this other black person as better than, you know, like, and it triggers the special snowflake thing in so many people, and that's why the backlash is so harsh, because they're like, oh, you think you're better than us, you know, who your faves, and how come you ain't say nothing when this happening, and all that kind of shit that you know, really doesn't matter to her point. You know, the other problem is, I don't necessarily disagree with her point, you know, if it's the question is, and then what? And at the end, even she's like, it's really not much he can do, you know, maybe mention those people a little bit more. Like, well, then we kind of went through this whole exercise for nothing, you know.
That's my entire point,
you know. But yeah, it's interesting because, like I said, black people do that shit too, and I just, you know, it's always like, are we the parts of culture that are shared, that are sent out into the world and that change lives and find people, are we done with that? Is that supposed to be over?
I don't know. You know, like, let's take, and I know a lot of people don't like her, but let's take Adele, for instance. Like, it's a lot of black people that stand for Adele, and they love Adele. Then there's some black people that criticizes her for singing, and you go, well, you know, that's just how her voice sang. Like, she purposely didn't go out and be like, I'm gonna get the black chick voice. Like, that's something that naturally comes out of her. But it's one of those things where people just have their minds made up. Some black people have their minds made up that anything white people do is just evil, and that's that.
Right. Also, you know, the other reason I don't get into this shit, a lot of this shit is, there's other motivations behind it.
Yes.
And I don't like to suppose other people's motivations. So I stay out of it for that reason, because I really don't know what the fuck people. I try to take people at their value and their word, but you honestly never know. Like, y'all know what people always talk about, they miss 90s music and 80s and shit. Y'all know what I miss the most from the old school era? I miss when you could say you didn't like a motherfucker, and then you didn't need to make an academic argument out of it.
Getting a like, thesis.
Yeah. Like, that seems to be have gone away.
Didn't have to write a report.
Like, it used to be a, I just don't like Christian Bale.
And you had to write no bullet points.
Yeah. I just don't like Public Enemy. Well, why not? I just don't like them.
Yeah, and that's me when it comes to shit. Like, if, you know, I'm straightforward, and I ain't got to explain shit to you unless I want to.
Yeah, we used to have, like, we didn't have as black academic words, you know?
Yeah. And some shit does need explanation and shit like that, but some shit is just your opinion, and that's the end.
I missed that. It was a great time, y'all. I remember when you could just be like, you know, fuck, Vanilla Ice, and it wasn't like, let's break down all the ways that Vanilla Ice is problematic. It was literally just like, fuck this nigga, because Vanilla Ice wasn't allowed to cook.
No, he was not.
Like, that motherfucker got that hot one song off,
and Ice Baby, and that
motherfuckers
was it.
Heard that album and was like, oh, this white boy is white as fuck, bye. You know what I mean? Like,
even though they still fuck with that one song, that's it.
I mean, that one song was jamming though. You know, Ice Baby is the jam. People try to revise history with that. Eminem was a top five rapper for a long time. People try to revise history on shit, but yeah, it was, you know, Snow the Informer. Somebody brought him up in the chat. He had that one song. Like, this white, okay, fuck this white boy, and moved out. And it wasn't 27 think pieces. I think times have changed. So now it's like people start rolling their eyes before it even starts. It's like, here we go with a long rant on what's wrong with him and why I'm a bad person for existing and letting this dude make music and shit. And I think motherfuckers lose it that way. But yeah, I just think the way this was framed, like, this is some shit for black people to do. It just bothered people. So.
Agreed.
All right. Actually, I need to use the bathroom. But hold on, let me pause this real quick. I'll be right back. All right, I see all y'all in the chat room trying to tell Cam to delete my white people news music that I have it hidden in a folder that she can never get to, so it's password protected. Y'all will never be safe. I was gonna take that part out, but I'm leaving it in now. All right, let's get into the BET Awards. But yeah, like I said, to me, I'm never gonna be mad at black people for the fact that we share our culture, man. The fact that that's gonna be exploited, that's gonna happen no matter what. But I'm never gonna be mad at us, because we should be the example that more cultures go by. Especially black people in America, we were people that had our culture mostly stripped from us, had to rebuild our culture from fucking scratch, basically. And we still end up getting the burden on this shit. It's somehow our fault, like the way that was framed. It's somehow some shit we not doing. That can't be the result of it. Just doesn't seem like that's right, in my opinion, to then turn it on us. It feels unfair. It just feels wrong, you know. She obviously, everybody's allowed to their opinions and shit, but I don't know, man. Sometimes I just look at the way the world is, and it's like, man, how much shit gotta be my fault as a black person? Like, how much shit gotta be black people's fault? Like, cause sometimes it's like you catch it on both sides, where it's like the most woke people think it's black people's fault.
Come on.
And they don't look at it as us navigating a system that's already against us and dismantling us, that has oppressed us, that every single time we try to raise up, there's always some new obstacle, and yet it's still kind of our fault. At the end of the day, like, it still comes back down to why y'all doing this and shit. And I don't know, man. It's like, I try not to get angry about that, because I know that that's coming from a place of people just trying to look for solutions. But it's also like, your solution is kind of still putting it on us.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the solution, sometimes, even though you love your people, it's still, the foundation sounds anti-black. You know, because, like, I love my people, but it's still y'all fault. You're like, well, do you love me? Do you really love me? Because you're telling me everything my fault. And truth be told, we all trying to navigate this fucked up world, dawg. Like,
right. Black people finding a little bit of fucking joy in some music by this Filipino dude that, and this is why I started the show with this. He opened the show.
Yes, he did.
And showed the fuck out. Like, it wasn't just some, the novelty of Justin Timberlake being white, and he don't got to make this black music, but look at him, he doing it, y'all. He dancing like Usher. Like, it wasn't that. You know what I mean? And also, man, there's this thing about shared culture that, to me is beautiful, because it's the height of humanity to see people share and enjoy other people's culture. Mm-hmm. You know, it was something beautiful about the Wu-Tang Clan. Like, it's something beautiful about that. Like, look at this oppressed people coming together to make some beautiful music and art, and being influenced by each other, not being afraid. Like, cause that's the other thing. This whole, like, it don't matter if you give credit and shit. It does matter.
Come on.
It absolutely does matter. And yes, those people did see album sales off of that. Yes, they absolutely did.
Yeah.
Yes, some fans, I don't know. We can never quantify the number, but absolutely there are people that listen to Bruno Mars, heard him in an interview talk about Earth, Wind & Fire, and picked up an Earth, Wind & Fire album. You know how I know that shit happens? Is because when we talk about other podcasts, even if they've never been on this show, they'll be like, yo, thank you for talking about us. People wouldn't listen to our show.
Right.
So I know it happens with music. I know it does. Hell, we probably all done it at some point.
Come on.
Well, we didn't know that Childish Gambino was influenced by the G-Funk, and then somebody told some kid, like, yeah, you know, if you really want to hear that, you need to actually go check out Parliament Funkadelic, and they go hear that, and they're like, oh, god damn,
that's a whole genre, another genre of music, right?
I remember buying an Earth, Wind & Fire album because I heard their sample in something else. Now, my daddy played Earth, Wind & Fire my whole fucking life. That's old man music. Right. Heard the sample in something else. I'm like, let me go check out. My dad was on some shit. He was on to something. You know, so, you know, and this is not, I just want to be 100% clear. This isn't even us being, saying that ignorant shit about black people appropriate white people. Y'all out here playing guitar. The stupid, ignorant arguments that are easy to shoot down.
Right.
I don't have no tolerance for those either. Those are, so you could wear blonde weave? Like, fuck those people too. Fuck them. But
yes,
I'm saying, even within the side of, we all agree that white supremacy is fucked up and it's fucking shit up, and cultural appropriation can make us feel a certain way, and our emotions are valid. Even in the frame of that, I still feel a little bit like, okay, but do we have to frame it for all y'all black people are the problem? Because it is difficult to look at that sentence structure with the y'all and the we gotta stop. It's difficult to look at that and not go, you're putting it on us.
Right, and you're separating yourself out of the group.
Right. So, you know, it is what it is, man. Like I said, the beauty of this, and why I wouldn't attack somebody for having this opinion, why, you know, I don't even understand how the shit really trended, if we're being honest, is because it's just her opinion, man.
Correct.
She was tweeting about the BET Awards later that night. She, like I said, we follow each other. I've never had an issue with this lady. Like, she's allowed to have her opinion without it having to fit into the monolith that we claim not to have.
Correct.
And she don't need to be attacked for it. I saw people like
doing all types of personal
insulting her and shit, and I'm just like, dog, it don't even have to be that. You know, and keep in mind, I didn't even know who it was for the vast majority of the day.
Me either.
I was just like, yeah, okay, I can see how that would be a silly argument.
Bruno, that's all I seen.
Right, I can see how people would disagree with this, that, or other. And then, like, when I saw who it was, I was just like, yeah, I mean, she, because people were also attacking her mode. Oh, you just want a trend. And I'm like, she probably just really feel that way.
Right.
We should always start with, that's probably how somebody feels whenever someone expresses an opinion that you disagree with. I wish we would start there more often, because it also saves us a lot of steps.
Correct.
Rather than be like, you just said that because, no, maybe they feel that way. Okay, so they don't feel that way. Let's address it now. You know, but yeah, man, I just felt like Bruno totally sort of acquitted himself in that performance, because anybody that had been having this surface level argument about the shit, when you saw that performance, you're like, oh, speaking of emotions, people feel a certain way emotionally when they feel like something's inappropriated, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's a reason that, like I said, I don't understand how we make an argument about appropriation without essentially coming to the point where it's like nobody should do anybody else's shit. But we all know that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
We all have that moment where it's like, yeah, dog, you out here with the fake butt twerking dummies and the inflatable titties and shit. We know that you're really just picking at our culture. And you shouldn't be here and allowed to do this. We know that. It's one of the reasons I love the BET Awards. Cause y'all ever notice them motherfuckers never really get to shine at the BET Awards?
Mm-mm.
Like, has Iggy ever performed?
Nope.
And if she has, like, it must have been 27 niggas on stage and then Iggy came in and did a verse. You know what I mean? She ain't never won an award. Even when she was the number one selling hip hop female artist.
Nicki won that year.
Yeah, she never won an award. Any of the years, like, when she was sweeping at the Grammys and all this other, people was like, she better not bring her white ass over here.
I don't know if she showed up.
Right. So it's that kind of shit too, when it's, Robin Thicke is, you know, doing blurred lines and shit, and we're also kind of like, yeah, nigga, don't get too comfortable in your Beetlejuice suit. Like, right. Take that shit to MTV Awards and you and Miley dance together, cause we know real recognize real Robin. Okay, you know what I mean? So it's that kind of shit too. And it's also why Eminem got a seat at the table with a lot of people, because Eminem wasn't hey yo son, what up dog, you know, like, it wasn't an impression of a black person he was doing. So yeah, man, I feel empathy, and I also understand where the impetus comes from in her argument, even with me being like, Bruno's not gonna be the hill to die on, and most people aren't gonna have a problem with Bruno, you know. Even with that, I'm still like, I feel you though, and I definitely don't feel like she need to be taken down a peg or dissed or called out her name and shit. I always feel like that's just, it's just fucked up in a world that's already got enough anti-blackness and shit in it,
come on,
and enough people at each other's throat that really don't have that big of a difference. Motherfuckers about to lose friends over shit like this.
Yeah, that important to me.
Yeah, but the thing about Bruno, after I saw him perform, I was like, this is why black people, this is not about Bruno Mars, this is why black people are the greatest of all time. Because if you love our shit and you love us, we will always love you back.
Yes sir.
Always. You can, that's a fucking guarantee.
Yeah. If Black people aren't stupid. They can tell if it's real and genuine.
Mm.
That's why a lot of times when people are faking and they're not real, they're not accepted. Because yeah. People go, no.
And they don't come around.
Right.
Like, you know, it's a reason Miley don't come to BET Awards.
Oh, she better not bring her ass over there. She get booed. Yeah,
black people not giving her a pass. But it's a reason that, you know, Justin Timberlake came to perform and got showed the fuck out by Charlie. Uncle Charlie came through and was like, if you don't get your little white boy shit out of here, and everybody sweated, lost their mind, talked about it all year.
Right.
It's like Justin Timberlake was never there, because we know when the interlopers are about, dog. It's,
yeah,
it's, you know, just some people just draw the line at different places.
Yes.
She draws her line at, and like I said, if it's Bruno, then that means everybody. So she draw her line at anybody not black, making money doing this shit.
Right. And okay. She has the right to draw her line. That yeah. It doesn't mean anybody's going to agree with you. But going back to Uncle Charlie, yeah. And the thing that was so beautiful about Uncle Charlie, and something that I think it's a shame, is that I've never seen him perform at these larger award shows. Or he may have, and it may be in a collaboration with
I haven't seen it either. Like, or if it's in a collaboration with the Gap Band or something. Right, I understand.
It's not like that.
No, it's a Black appreciation, because it's a Black award show, and it's why, look, we have been on the forefront of this shit ever since motherfuckers was calling it the EBT Awards.
Come on.
Like, I think we even named the episode the EBT Awards. Like, we've been on the forefront of, like, y'all do realize that this is the only award show that matters.
Come on.
Like, back when people was clowning BET, calling it cheap and all this shit. Now, meanwhile, every other award show this year fucked up the sound, fucked up the getting the who won the right award, fucked up Adele had to start over her song and shit. Every other show has some fuck ups, but let BET fuck up and it's, oh, Black people ain't shit. Like, it's always been that double standard, like, gotta be twice as good for half the money. But no, I love the BET Awards. It's the only award show you need to watch if you're Black. Anyway, like I said, that intro with Bruno could not have highlighted the day better to start it off. Cause I was like, right. And cause it's not about him. Like mm-hmm. I said, that's why we better. That's why we better. Cause we're not like, the Country Music Awards, where people are like, I hate Beyonce and shit cause she said Black Lives Matter. We're not like that. You know what I mean? Like, we are like, oh, cool. You got some appreciation for us and our culture. Come through, man. Like, please sit up front. We don't give a fuck. Like, you partying with us tonight, you know? Anyway, that's why we better. And I'm not trying to be like white people. Mm-mm. You know, they are not the goal.
They are not the goal. And I understand some niggas' goals is to be white. That's fine. But that's not my goal.
They are not the goal. To then take Black people and just put us on top of the pile of the pyramid. That's not the goal for me. I know that's some people's version of what this shit is going to be. But my goal is not. It'll just be racism, but Black people winning. No. Keep it all. Anyway, so of course the Leslie Jones was hosting.
Yeah, and she enjoyed it.
She's just a ball of energy. Like, I don't even know. I feel like Leslie wrote 3 jokes the whole night, but everything was just her coming out being a ball of energy. Like, she just came out was everybody's cheerleader. You know, it was almost like her Olympics coverage.
Yes,
where she's just like yelling at the crowd, like Jamie Foxx here, whoa! I felt like that was her whole way of hosting.
Yeah, and also I think too she was just excited, mm-hmm. you know, and you could feel her happiness and her excitement, and I love the energy.
Well, she's excitable.
Yes, she is.
I will say this too: I appreciated the timeline because a lot of people. Even Black people, some of their first introduction to Leslie Jones is this, or they haven't seen her in a long time, or their first introduction was SNL. Mm-hmm. And I've always kind of been a little wary of people that go in on Leslie Jones too hard, because it's like, are you going in on Leslie Jones because you really think she just the sellout coon, Uncle Tom, blah blah blah? Are you going in on Leslie Jones because white people saw her comedy on SNL and you don't feel comfortable with white people laughing at her?
Come on.
Like, is that what it is? Because be honest with yourself, because the critique matters, you know. Because if you just don't like it because what white people think, I'm gonna help you out. Stop worrying about it. White people never gonna think the right thing. So you gotta stop worrying about that shit. Like, white people, it's like when people say, we should stop saying nigga, cause white people get confused and they say it. White people invented the word, y'all. If that's your only hang up, you might as well start saying nigga all the time, because white people never gonna stop calling us niggers.
Yep.
So just keep it up. Just fuck them. Don't worry about them. They ain't got shit to do with how we love each other. But it felt like the timeline was a little more relaxed than they are when she's on SNL, cause it's a Black room, Black setting. You know, Black woman, that is hosting this event that is very Black woman centric. And you know, she could make those same jokes and act outs without people then turning around and go, she cooning for these white folks. Cause I, like, that's the thing about Saturday Night Live that I noticed, like, oh, you guys just never heard of Leslie Jones. Okay.
Right. Cause she's been around for years, y'all.
Yeah. Y'all, that's all it is. Y'all just literally want her to get on through being one of the blackest acts in fucking, in comedy for 30 plus years. Y'all want her to get on doing that and then change it up and act respectable for these white people. And I'm like, yeah, no, fuck that shit. Do what you've been doing.
No.
You know? And then also some people just don't like her comedy, and that's fine too. I'm not saying right. Can't like her. But yeah, as, you know, I felt like it was more relaxed is what I'm saying, cause she was home.
Right.
People that normally send to psychoanalyze every fucking move from her was kind of like, you know, if they, you could tell when they didn't enjoy a set, they just be like, oh yeah, well, this one joke was funny, or, you know, I like what she said this, or, oh, you know, oh, here comes someone. Like, it wasn't just a roast of Leslie Jones. Plus, I think also we all saw what happened to her during that Ghostbuster shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, after we see you get attacked, for just being a black woman in a film, we, you know, the motherfuckers calling you gorilla and shit, they hacked your phone. Yeah, man, we not about to sit up here and participate in that and add to it. And I actually appreciate people taking the time out not to add to that shit. So yeah, she came out in a knee brace.
Come on.
She said she was old. She was like, I'm so old, I'm wearing on the outside of my pants.
I ain't trying to be cool.
She's also like, she was talking about, how she looked young. She's like, I look 30. In my mind, I feel like I'm 30, but then my mind got to remind me I'm old. And she was like, you need to sit your ass down. You are 50, bitch. If you fall on. One more time, you are done.
That's how your body speak to you for real.
And it was so old school too, cause she had a sweat towel.
Come on.
Like, it really don't keep, you know, it really don't get no better than that sweat towel. And then she had to joke about the young girls, and they get ready to have sex, they take out their pants like an angel floats out.
Yeah.
She was like, well, you older. Yeah. She's like, I'll flip my pants down, a whole dragon to come out.
Dragon keep your meat warm.
Right. Ah! Then the Migos won an award for like best hip hop act.
I was proud I knew the song.
Yeah, best group was Migos. It was like 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne was nominated, which I'm like, that's just 2 solo artists. Same thing with Remy Ma and Fat Joe. No offense, but y'all just 2 solo artists. Y'all can't be the rap group of the year. Y'all not a group. Y'all did an album together. That's like making Jay-Z and R. Kelly the best of both worlds, the group of the year. Like, nah, y'all not a group. Tribe Called Quest got nominated, though. That album was dope.
It was.
Migos gave a great acceptance speech where they thanked their mama and the culture and dipped. French Montana came out and performed with a bunch of little dark skinned black girls to deflect from them tweets. By the way, people took so much offense to these. By the way, Humorless Twitter was in my mentions all night.
Humorless.
Boy, did the French Montana Hive take offense to that joke right there. I was like, yeah, he went full. Hey guys, don't forget, I'm from Africa, kinda. They was like, no, he did this video before he made those tweets. I was like, I was about to respond and be like, well, so you said he was faking the whole time? Damn, he always hated black women? But I let it go. Solange performed.
Yes, she did.
And then Solange won an award too, which was dope, you know.
And Kevin Rijo, I'm pissed with sweating.
Mm-hmm. She gave a great speech. I did notice in the audience Tyrese was there with his wife, and I didn't even make a joke about it because I'm grown, I'm mature now, y'all. I thought about it a lot of ways I could have made that, but I said no, not even gonna roast Tyrese like that. Nope, it's a good night, we all family. Vince Staples had a great Sprite commercial. If you guys don't get a chance to see it.
That Sprite commercial was the best. Mm-hmm. He walked in and like they was playing like the carnival games. He knocked down all the Sprites, told them they won.
Yeah, that was awesome. That dude's a funny person, man. He did an interview on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. I'm like, he's just a funny dude, man. He might can do something with acting or something, a comedy outside of just music if he ever decides to, in addition to being a talented rapper. They showed the trailer for that Detroit movie. That shit like a horror movie.
Yeah, it sure did. I was like,
and the monster is racism.
Come on, that man running for the police and all he got is groceries he's trying to take to his baby. I was like, I might be out.
I knew it was gonna get filthy that night because they gave the gospel awards right away
early, and they didn't even perform. They didn't have no gospel people perform this year. They normally have like a smooth hot 15 minute section. They was like, nope, not this year, y'all.
This one was for the heathens, y'all. Tamela Mann, I noticed she got nominated, but she didn't win. Lecrae won. But Tamela Mann, man, I say this every time I see her, she looked like the grapefruit lady to me.
Don't she though? She's so thick.
Yeah, but I'm just mean like when they showed her picture, I always think of the grapefruit lady. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
she just like her too. And Leslie made jokes about Lil Yachty.
Yeah, Lil Boat. Post Malone was there performing. I didn't even know Post Malone was white. Like he was performing in some prom tux bottoms, like from the 70s. Ah! Like, or doing some Bone Thugs cosplay or some shit. I was like, all right, I guess they let him cook. I don't know that anything about that dude. Also, who else is there? Oh, and then he performed with, like, I think he performed with the Migos, if I'm not mistaken, and everybody went crazy. Like, and I was like, this also was dope. Even the audience at our shit is better, right? The audience was actually, they actually be dancing, knowing the words of the song. Like, they not too cool for the show. Mm-mm. Like, it don't matter what level star you are. If you're in the audience, your ass is in there like, raindrop, drop top.
Yes.
Like, that shit was dope, man. You know what I mean?
Because we are fans of each other.
Right. Like, there's shared bonds of blackness and commonality where you come through and you're like, oh yeah, we all know this song. Don't matter if you're a fucking dignitary.
Right.
Like, I saw, you know, except, like, I saw Debra Lee in there and I was like, Debra Lee look like everybody mama when you play this song in the car. Ah,
she's like, I just want to be sure the sensor man is doing his job.
She's like, I don't know the words, but this is jamming. She was getting a little jam on.
I can move a little bit.
Tiffany Haddish was still in character from Girls Trip and I loved it. She was dancing her ass off.
Oh, she was everything.
Let's see who else performed. Remy Ma gave an award. And it was funny because I was like, Remy Ma is the reason we won't be seeing Onika tonight because Nicki Minaj didn't show up.
No.
Mm-hmm. Remy Ma was looking so good. Oh my God. Papoose, Black Love. You won, bruh. He sat on that investment the whole bid. Cause he knew what he was getting when she got out. He said it's worth it, and I don't blame him. The trailer for the Gunslinger movie looks great with Idris Elba. Can't wait to see that. Mm-hmm. Netflix got so many black shows they actually had a commercial on the BET Awards. Step your game up, Amazon and Hulu.
Yeah, Netflix. No, Netflix be knowing. They're like, hey, we know where our audience is. We know why. Who was it? Luke Cage was like the number one rated,
but it's like Luke Cage, The Get Down, Dear White People.
They did all the black shit.
The black shit.
They was like, oh, the niggas over there, yeah we want that money.
I'm like, can't Amazon, what you doing over there? People give y'all this credit? Where y'all black shit at? You know what I mean? Like, Hulu, y'all getting more shows? Where the black shit, bro? I gotta give credit where it's due, man. Also, Roy Wood Jr. said the most gangster shit Netflix does is advertise on cable networks. He's like, because essentially he's right, because it's like that's the competition and y'all letting them advertise on your shit,
right? They're like, we'll take your money because they're taking the money,
right? So then I remember thinking, I wonder if Remy Ma gonna perform Sheetha tonight. I was like, I don't know none of her and Fat Joe songs together other than All the Way Up. And I think they did that last year. They got a new TV show about comedians on the road and George Lopez is in it. And I was like, uh-oh.
I seen him, I was like, yeah, I don't know.
Carrie Champion came out to introduce an award for the Bennett brothers, these two NFL dudes that are super woke, super pro-black. They had a charity where they're going to give all their money to black women. I thought it was interesting. One, carry champion's legs are unfair. I don't know if y'all ever seen her on just regular TV. Her legs are bioluminescent. I'm convinced, dog. Like, them joints shine like they glow in the dark. But then two, these dudes got this award, you know, got, you know, the spotlight on them. And I was like, they so woke. The NFL gonna have to blackball them after tonight.
Oh, Lord.
Like, there's no way they can go back to work Monday. So hopefully those brothers can find another job, because I don't think Goodell knew they were doing it. Trey Songz performed.
Mr. Steal Your Girl.
And he started with a song that was talking about I only need one girl and shit and how much he love her. And then he ended that shit with some ghetto Kama Sutra. I was like, okay, now there's 17 women dancing on your couch grinding. I don't know what you want. Make up your mind.
But you cut me off, I'm gonna fuck crazy. You understand? Don't do. Cut me off. Don't cut me off.
All right, let me go to the next segment. I see we're up at 120. Give me 1 second, guys. We'll be right back. But yeah, his performance went from classy to raunchy. It was just one girl dancing in a dress and shit. Then all of a sudden, the screen went dark, came back. It was a bunch of girls in lingerie grinding on each other and shit. And I was like, okay, well, this is more like the Trey Songz I know.
Right. And did we miss Lala, or she ain't came out yet?
I don't think we got to that yet.
Okay.
My stuff
must be out of order. My bad.
Did you put it in latest at the top when you organize it? At the top, it say latest, and that's how you get it in sequential order.
Okay. Are you at the actually twitter.com?
Oh, yeah. I went to Twitter to do it.
Okay. I need to get the fuck out of this.
Okay. What are you at?
The tweet deck, and that's not.
Oh, no, that's fine, too. I mean, it should be in order if you got it in there. It should be in order. Well, I mean, look, feel free to chime in. You don't got to wait on me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I ain't telling you what to do. Lala was looking good. Yeah. I don't remember when she came out. I'm not doing the exact order. Lala came out. I was gonna bring it up because Lala was looking so good. Fucking Carmelo was on social media celebrating her birthday, calling her his Earth.
That's when you know shit was, and she looks.
She was the Earth and all the constellations in that dress, though.
And she was so fine, and the gifts was off the chain of his. The timeline lit up with Carmelo Anthony gifts.
Yes, and I'll tell you something else. Derek Fisher was there, so I'm like, I hope he don't crash Carmelo's car coming back home.
I hope not
tonight. You know,
he already crashed one.
Get another DUI and Carmelo whip this time. But yeah, nah, Lala was, she was looking fine as fuck. I think she went up there with Kofi, or as the sisters call him, Kofi.
Yes, Kofi.
Yeah, she went up there with a dude from, Ralph Angel, basically from Queen Sugar.
Yes.
And, I was like, man,
that chocolate man is everything.
And I love how they essentially was roasting Melo, even though he wasn't there. Everybody was like, Melo, look at, hey, Lala, you looking good. Look at Lala. Good, you been in the gym. Woo! Girl, this is Lala looking like she ready to, you know, like everybody had the same jokes. I was like, damn, Melo, you know you fucked up bad. Sometimes you gotta see other people appreciating a woman for you do. But, yeah, she can go move on now.
Oh, and also, they had a Boyz II Men commercial.
Yeah, about the pharmacy.
That was, I wasn't ready for that one.
Yeah, that was a good one. They sang about the symptoms of being gassy and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I don't know if I could handle them singing behind the counter when they trying to tell me about give me a description.
Yeah. It was.
I probably wasn't out laughing.
Yeah, it was good. It was a Geico commercial.
Yeah.
About, it was, you know how they do, like, the Geico do insurance? Well, Boyz II Men know how to do such and such, and then it's like they have a commercial after that. That's basically what this ad was. And they were in a pharmacy as a woman was getting her prescription. They was like, I think it was like, can Boyz II Men make anything sound good? And they did.
So your new prescription does have a few side effects.
Oh, like what?
You're gonna have dizziness, nausea, and sweaty eyelids. And in severe cases, chronic flatulence.
No.
So gassy, girl.
So gassy.
If you're Boys to Men, you make anything sound good. It's what you do. If you want to save 15% or more on car insurance, you switch to Geico. It's what you do.
Next.
And welcome to the Geico YouTube channel.
There you guys go.
Subscribe now to find funny commercials.
All right, that's enough, Boys to Men. They had a great video about Leslie Jones' basketball camp that was funny.
Yes, that was so hilarious. Then the technique she was using, that was so hilarious.
The devil's elbow.
Come on.
And it was $5,000 cash only, no website, no
refunds.
Right,
she was like, look, cash only, my niggas.
Yeah, it was funny.
No credit, no traveler's checks.
Chris Brown performed, and I'm like, how is he legally allowed to be in the building tonight?
Right, I was like, I might get punched here just sitting at my house watching.
Yeah, like, look, putting on an award show is hard. And I do understand that it is morally and just it's hard to be an award show that's gonna shun one of the most popular acts apparently in America.
Right.
But I don't give a fuck how many times it happens. It's always gonna be awkward to see Chris Brown perform knowing that this dude has been accused of abusing women multiple times.
Stalking.
Chronically in trouble and shit, and still has a throng of fans that support him no matter what, and many of those fans being black women and black girls, it's always gonna be awkward and fucked up. I mean, the amount of people that responded to my tweet, which was, how is Chris Brown legally allowed to be here tonight, because I know Carucci has a restraining order against him.
So I guess she didn't come.
She was there. I'm guessing she had to sit in the back during his part. I don't know. But I just remember being like, yeah, how is this possible? Also, this is the second time somebody's had restraining orders against this dude and came to the award show that he was at. So I don't know. Maybe it's different when you're working. I don't know.
The rules might be different.
I don't know how it's legally possible. But, you know, the point being, like, it's reprehensible that this dude is still out here getting a pass. You know, I'd rather have 1,000 Bruno Mars than one Chris Brown.
Come on.
When it comes to this shit, but it is what it is. He's there, he performed. The other part is, and I think it's just, obviously music is subjective, right? I'm not a fan of his, and I never really was a fan of his.
I initially was, but not now.
Okay, so I never was a fan. So for me, it's always kind of been like, what's the point?
Yeah, now I'm not gonna lie, I think when Chris Brown came out, he was really young. I was in my 20-somethings when, like, he initially came out. Now, his first album, this is before all the other shit with Rihanna and all that stuff. His first album was Flames. Once this stuff started coming out and I started finding things, I was like, there's almost like R. Kelly. There's no way I can listen to your music now and associate anything positive, and me personally, anything positive with it. So I just stopped listening.
Yeah, he just seemed to be a fucked up individual, man. He don't care. Like, it is what it is. He don't have to care. I mean, he rich as fuck. He goes where he wants, does what he wants. I mean, all the shit that he has done, he ain't never go to jail for it. I mean, it is what it is. Uh-huh. Society has decided that he's going to get away with that shit. And he's a rich, famous, attractive man. It just is what it is. But for me, I never really was a fan of his. So it's like an extra layer to me being like, why is he still around? He can't sing, and every year passes, he stops being able to dance more and more. So now it's like, what are y'all even inviting him for? But it's just, he's that popular. And it's not like like people blame the fans, but also the industry ain't shut him out.
They sure haven't.
You know, whether it's award shows or just artists. Other artists keep working with the dude.
Yeah, they do.
So I guess it just don't matter. Chance won a rapper of the year, I believe.
Yeah, and the thing with Chance, it was so...
Now, this isn't when he got his humanitarian award. But...
Okay, and even before that, mm-hmm. I've always... put like this. I've heard of Chance, but I didn't really listen to Chance until his, like, latest album. And he's such a positive dude, and he's so positive that I was like, I've always cheered him on. Like, for me, it didn't matter. I was like, okay, he's a positive dude. Keep doing positive things.
Yeah, I like Chance. What the thing that's funny to me is watching people come on to him because he's such an infectious, positive dude. They stumbled onto something with his marketing. Because I remember when it was 10 Day, the 10 Day album, which still dope. You know, y'all, people ask where I got that Cocoa Butter Kisses song from and shit. That's from the 10 Day album, I believe. Or maybe it's from his first. Anyway, you know, I fuck with Chance Heavy, especially the fact that he kind of came in the industry and was able to get in without no label and shit and all that stuff. Super power move. But he's also a marketing genius, and I think that doesn't get enough recognition. Like, that positivity shit, that's all branding too. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean he's not a positive person, but right. There's other positive people that don't have the rep he has. Mm-hmm. Which is like, leave Chance alone. When he gets on, he just represents a guy that loves his God and all the shit. And I've always been kind of amazed by that, because you know who else loves God? Kendrick. You know who else loves God? Kanye. But it's not received with the same joy. Like, he celebrates his joy and love of his religion in a way that these other cats really haven't found a way to tap into. Kendrick's scared of God, and Kanye's just comforted by the fact that God forgives all sins.
Right.
But Chance is the only one that seems to be wanting to celebrate and spread the joy and the charity of God to other people. You know, so I think that is just smart marketing, and I like his marketing. Mm-hmm. And anyway, Diddy got up and I think he presented an award or something, and he told everybody his documentary is coming out, Can't Stop Won't Stop, because you know he always grinding, always promoting something.
Ain't he though?
And I was thinking about it, man, like all them years ago Suge Knight was talking about Diddy all up in the videos, but now Diddy got enough video footage to put out a documentary about his life, and you all up in the gin pop, so it feel like Diddy won.
Right, and it's one of these things too where him and Beyonce and some of these other people, they actually did a lot of video recording of their life before a lot of this shit was, before a lot of people started recording their lives like they are now.
Yeah.
And so like, he literally has found footage of himself that literally nobody else got.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So it's one of these things where, like you said, you can joke about it, but hey, like you say, he got probably hundreds of thousands of hours of footage that mm-hmm. they getting ready to chop, and he getting ready to make that guap.
Caramel M&M's are trash.
That they are, and there was Leslie between like one of the performances. Leslie was down talking to a young dude. She patted that dude on the butt.
Slapped that booty.
Yeah, she did. Rubbed her hands together.
It was right before Mary J. I definitely didn't tweet that shit stuff that sounded like just what I would have tweeted Blige performed.
Come on.
And she performed, listen, Mary been in the gym.
Yep, she performed angry.
She came out there and sang the Fuck Can Do Isaac song.
Yeah, she's like, I did not come to play with you hoes.
Right, and it was so good. Can Do Isaac fucking went on Instagram during the show and posted something.
Uh-oh, I didn't know this.
Because she was talking shit, man. I don't know what song it was, but
honey, she was singing angry.
Whatever song that was, it seemed like she had waited all the years of that marriage to sing whatever the name of that song was, you know?
Yeah, because one thing about Mary, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if you think Mary can sing, Mary can't sing, that's irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
You feel whatever emotion she's going through, and that's a lot of black women's connection, and pain is something that woman, and anger is something that woman can sing.
Yeah, like too many people out there get caught up in the now it's just, we've always known Mary ain't the strongest vocalist or the strongest dancer. We've all known that, but it's always been about the fact that she, like, her emotions when she's on the mic is always fucking amazing. And
there's no price there's no price you can put on how she makes you feel.
Right. Like, I understand y'all might want Adele to sing at your wedding or something, but I want Mary J. Blige to sing in my divorce.
Come on, my divorce party, she gonna be there.
Like, she know how to sing them bitter, angry side chick
songs.
She
gonna be like, I sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And you can leave me at a drop of a dime. I'm like, yes, Mary.
Somebody said she didn't do a two-step, but she did do a two-step. It was a little slower. Okay, we're not roasting Aunt Mary tonight. Okay, it's not happening, guys. But Can Do Isaacs was so taken aback by that shit. He went on the gram and said put a picture of Mary and said, I love you to death, Mary J. Blige. I can't even begin to understand why you are going on about this way, the way you have been. I never wanted to discuss our life airing the laundry. You know me better than that. You and I really need to talk and stop all this negative nonsense. I love you and I will always, regardless of your actions. Shout out to the BET Awards for making that happen. Like, cause Kendu Black Ass was watching. She been singing that song and performing all over the place.
Yeah, she has.
But Kendu couldn't miss it cause he know his phone blew the fuck up.
All his Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat was cracking after when Mary went up there. And like you say, she done slimmed down. She done got fine. Honey, she's up there sparkling and shit.
Mm-hmm. She did Love Yourself, which, oh, Love Yourself is my shit. And I love that she got the version with A$AP Rocky now, because the Kanye verse is whack as fuck on there. Like, I tried, y'all, but Kanye, sometimes Kanye just be on some other shit. And he started that shit like, I decided to stop using my race as a handicap or some shit. I was like, nope. Your brakes on. Get the fuck off of here, Kanye. What you doing?
Mm-hmm. But, BET gave us a meanwhile on Instagram.
Yeah, if I knew the name of the song, I'd play it right, y'all, right now.
Yippee-ki-yay. Yeah, I don't know the name of the song. Hold on. Yeah. Can we find it? What is it on Apple Music?
I mean, I'm on Tidal right now. I got the whole album. I haven't listened to it yet. I still got to go through it because I know I've been saving it. But yeah, if y'all got the title of the song, I'll play the shit. Cause
yeah, what's the title of that song?
That song started off. Like, I mean, it literally was just like, you took my money and gave it to that bitch. And I was like, God damn. It ain't even no subtext to this. You didn't even try to. She did everything but be like, Kendu, Isaac, fuck you. It's your fault. So anyway.
Yeah, let us know, chat room, because I don't know the name of the song.
But she was looking so good. I said, she making me want to be the next dude to try to get half. You know what I'm saying?
Ah!
Woo! She like, she had been in the gym, didn't she? Yeah, she was out there looking good. Like my big mama's house, the beaded curtain, to the kitchen outfit that she had on. Jamie Foxx came out and he was funny as fuck.
Yes, he was.
It definitely made me wish that, like, he would come back and host another year, because I always forget how much I like Jamie Foxx because he's so irreverent. Like, he don't really give a fuck about nobody's feelings, and he even roasted his own self and that horrible movie he did called Sleepless.
Come on.
Like, oh, Set Me Free is the name of the song. All right, let me see if I can play it. But yeah, he roasted his own movie. It was like, I had to promote it, man. But you knew the movie's terrible when you promoting it. It's just, what could I say?
Right.
I was like, damn, this is so good. This is so true, too. Let me see if I can play this. But yeah, that movie was terrible. Don't go see Sleepless, y'all.
Tell me how you figure that you made me and you gave me what I had before I met you. Ain't gonna have it when you're gone. And how you fix your mouth to say I owe you when you had another bitch and taking trips and shit. With my money for so long, we must have lost it. Nigga, you won't get a dime. But all you gonna get, too bad I can't get back my time. Was it all this time? I'm gonna be alright. Be just fine.
So yeah, she dropped that hot fire.
Oh, she was like, you gonna get all these flame emojis.
All the pettiness was.
Right.
She let all the rage inside.
Woo, that song started. They like, you mad? Go. Tell them why you mad, son. Right. And she was like, I'm gonna sing it.
Right. Soon as she started performing, I could feel the evil just inside, just the anger. It was coming out of her, y'all. It was coming out.
Mm-hmm. She was
My God. It's coming out of her. I can call my father Jesus.
It was coming out of Mary J. Blige, y'all. Bruno Mars won an award, which means he's, if you guys all know the rules, he's officially black now. It counts. Look it up in the rules for blackness. If you do win a BET award as a non-black person, you do officially get some blackness. It does have to be renewed every 10 years like a passport, but
the ratio is still valid.
Bruno Mars, we will be trading we will be trading Herman Cain for Bruno Mars, the rights to him.
And a 2020 draft.
Yep. Then Jamie had to promote his new movie Baby Driver, which I think looks good. I want to see it.
I do too.
But it was also funny because he had to talk about that shitty movie he was in. The hard part for Jamie's barber has to be remembering where to draw his hairline when he's promoting a film so that it matches that current film.
Yeah.
You know, when he's doing promotion, it's like, oh man, hold on. Where we do this during the movie? But yeah, I'm into it, man. Mm-hmm. Big Sean performed in the most monotone but able to rap ass performance that was long as fuck. But Kanye was right about Big Sean. He lasted way longer than people thought. I did think his little background dancers doing rap hands in a sweater was kind of like wearing matching clothes. That was kind of dope. I don't know, Beyonce did it better before. Anyway, he was kind of dope with that shit, and I thought it was also funny because my man 3 Carry on Idols was like, why the fuck is he just wearing that like fucking sweater, that Gap sweater, wherever the fuck he got it from? And I was like, well, he had to get that sweater. He had to get it 9 times for all them background dancers. He had to go find a sweater that he could buy 9 times. Them niggas was all dancing. Anyway, Khalid performed. The dude that made American Teen, that's a dope album if you guys get a chance to hear it.
Yeah, that dude was, because he performed live and he's really smooth. I might go check that out.
He went to the Dwele School of Close Enough, where you skip full syllables and words while singing, so you might not make out all the words of the live performance, but you get the gist. They had a conveyor belt that everybody was using to get on the stage, and I swear to God somebody was gonna fall. It's a miracle that like Cardi B or somebody didn't fall and sue the fuck out of BET. Need to do that. They did that last year too. They need to get rid of that shit.
Somebody gonna bust their ass hitting that thing and not realizing it, because the thing, it's like an escalator. You got to be prepared for it,
right?
Or either, and sometimes even if you are prepared for it, you might step on it wrong because it's moving,
right?
And Cardi B came up there and she was everything,
right? So yeah, that was cool. Yara Shahidi got introduced. She won an award. I forget what it was, but D-Ray Davis was up there with Cardi B, and I forget who the other woman was he was up there with. And he was like, when they said Yara Shahidi, she said, "She going to college, y'all." I said, "That's the blackest shit," because everybody know they got an uncle or somebody like that. It's like,
it sounded like he was so proud of her.
Gonna be somebody. Y'all should hear everybody's daughter going to college.
Right?
Escape came out and performed a reunion show.
Yes, and everybody 30 and over with Escape!
I live and breathe.
Right, and everybody under 25 going, why Tiny up there singing?
It was so good because it was, first of all, everybody on Escape now is a thick snack and mwah.
Come on.
If I had known, I just had to wait 17 years, I would have been a fan of Escape even more back then. But you know, it's all, now I'm looking for Groupon tour tickets because I know it's gonna be on Groupon.
Come on.
I might have to go see my bays
and some of
person.
Y'all favorite reality stars used to be on Escape and you didn't even know. People's like, what, that's
Candy
on Escape?
Candy was out there, everybody was out there. But yeah, it was cool. I enjoyed their performance and everybody's getting their life. Tiny next year gonna probably go to the Mary J. Blige Just Got Dogged Out gym and flourish.
Come on. And she was looking good and she was showing all them legs.
Right? I was like, what about Total though?
Come on, that's the next one.
Yep. But yeah, everybody was having a good time. I was in the house just kick it.
Hey, it was such a good time. Man, I was like,
Then they had another good skit that was Leslie Jones visiting herself when she 30 years ago when she worked at the Roscoe Chicken and Waffles.
That shit was hilarious.
Right. My favorite part is the end when she was like, when she had to go back to the future. She's like, yeah, you gonna host the BET Awards. And she's like, what's that? She's like, it's a channel for black people. It's like, it's like the Oscars. She's like, yeah, but for black people. She was like, you gonna be on Saturday Night Live. For real, what's that? White people in living color. But yeah, the last part where she was like, oh yeah, before I leave, don't get on Twitter and stop taking them naked pictures.
And then she like went to the future. That was hilarious.
Then Mask Off got performed by Future, who came on stage with a diamond encrusted mask,
a Bane mask.
Right. Somebody said, you adopted the lean, I was born in it. At any rate, I was like, man, I like Mask Off a little bit. I like, but what I really like is Kendrick. I was like, I wish Kendrick was there. He was there.
K-Dot came out of nowhere.
He did that fucking Kendrick verse from Mask Off. Oh, I was getting my motherfucking life. Oh, I love being black. Oh, I love it so much. Cause it's like they was reading my mind all night. All the people I said should win won. All the performances, I was like, man, this would be so much dope if they did. Oh, they did it. They thought of everything. You know, I was like, bitch, my hair down. Prince lived through me. Get your ass up and be inspired. Oh, God, I love that shit. Anyway, the Women for Girls trip came out and presented the award to New Edition, the Lifetime Achievement Award or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And of course, Deborah Lee came out as well, which means it was the annual shading of Deborah Lee time. But I want to say something, you guys, blacks, let me speak to you. Like the tweet, you blacks did a better job this year. Mm-hmm. And y'all, like, honestly though, black people have consistently gotten better with stopping the shade of Deborah Lee, because I always felt it was a little unfair.
Right.
I always felt like they came at her like she wasn't a black woman. They came at her like the changes she made gradually to that network weren't for the best.
Come on.
With some of that stuff. Like, some of that stuff had to go.
It did.
You know, like, I remember people getting mad at her for getting rid of Uncut, but it's like, dog, she won a serious network. You know, like, MTV ain't got no version of Uncut that come on at 3 a.m. I know it's some black shit, but, you know, like, at some point this show, this network had to make some moves, you know. And she's been there for fucking 20 years running a major corporation, and I'm glad to see people starting to give her some credit, because mm-hmm. black people were also blaming her for everything, man. Yep, like,
even if it was beyond her control,
right? Like, just shit that's not like, y'all got bought by Viacom. Yo, dog, you gotta pay for something somehow,
right? And she didn't sell it.
Even with this award show, man, I didn't even get into it. But people being like, so y'all give a chance a humanitarian award, but it's brought to you by Walmart. If Walmart got to put up some money for the charity, then yeah, it's brought to you by Walmart.
It sure is.
If it's, you know what I mean? Like, if, because normally it's some money attached to that kind of shit. It's not like, you know, people, I wish they wouldn't have commercials. Well, it's not a free thing, and it's not the Oscars, and it's not like they can't go into fucking serious debt like that, like fucking ABC or NBC does every year. Like, the award show is gonna be the one of the most watched shows, and they do need to make a profit, and most of the fucking commercials off of black shit,
right?
I don't know why Shea Moisture ain't do an ad. They should have did an ad. What's going on, Shea? Anyway, but yeah, man, it was like, you know, I was so happy to see her not get shaded this year. This is for Chance's award, his humanitarian award. And then the real FLOTUS came on the screen.
Forever our first lady.
Forever our lady.
Come on.
Gave Chance the Rapper his award. She had one shoulder of her dress was hanging off, like Barry had just walked up behind her and kissed on the nape of her neck.
Come on.
And then Chance got with his award, and he preached and talked about how he's only 24. And I love what he said. Because two things that struck to me about his speech. One, he was talking about what he could have said, like, we need to boycott I forget which corporation it was, because they didn't give money to the Chicago schools or something like that. Or he said, I could have got up here and said, you know, this other political thing. But he said, actually, I'm here to say that I want to be a better person. He said, because we need to work on ourselves first. And at first I was like, don't say black on black crime. Like, I thought he was gonna say something like that. But he was like, no, I want to be a better father. I want to be a better uncle to my nephews, a better cousin to my family members. I want to be a better man. I'm only 24. I don't know that I necessarily deserve this. He was the youngest person to ever win, but he was like, I want to be worthy of this. I want to take the love that I've spread so far to just my city and make it global. I want to help everybody. And I was just like,
he's such a positive person. And the thing about Chance, like I said, I'm one of them people where I just recently got introduced to Chance. I was like I said before, he's such a positive person, such a happy person. His album will literally lift your spirits. Like, it's just happiness all around that dude. And not trying to be funny, for him to be 24, he has accomplished more than some people have in their lifetime. He gave $1 million to the Chicago school systems and told them, I want your shit to go to here. I want your shit to go after school. He's actually doing tours. He's getting back to the community. Like, he started a nonprofit. It's shit that I did not try to be funny. I know he did a lot, but I didn't know he did this much. And he's one of those people where he's not just talking, he's doing, and his actions behind what he does. And you kind of have to give people praise when praise is due to them. And he deserved this, in my personal opinion.
Now, I thought it was dope, man.
Yes.
He's just got good energy, man.
Yes, he does.
So yeah, he gave his speech. He was dope. And then of course all the black people kept looking at the screen like Issa was looking at that Best Buy shirt.
Come on.
Waiting for Michelle to come back. But Maxwell performed, and I'm sorry, can't take Maxwell serious no more after Check the Numbers bitch DM that he sent old girl. Like, hey man, it is what I can't stop. I can't ever think of him without being like, you fucking phony. Like, you know, all his woman's work, because he sings so soft and crude, and then it's just like, he also sent somebody a DM talking about Check the Numbers bitch. I just can't take him seriously, man.
Right, and my time lined it up with Maxwell Gifts.
Tyrese got up and tried to do some religious stuff, but he ain't no Chance. I was just happy he didn't start off with ladies, so
he better not have.
Then they did a tribute to George Michael.
Yeah,
it was really good. Elder Barge came out and sang, and I said, yes, another year sober.
He was singing the hell out of that song.
Mm-hmm. And then that's when they did a dope ass tribute to New Edition, where they had all the kids from the movie come out and sing, Both Generations. And then actually, like, it was a long ass delay where everybody was like, because New Edition accepted their award, and we're like, what's taking so long? And Leslie Jones wasn't out there, and it was just quiet and silent. I think it was supposed to take a lot shorter than it did, but New Edition got up, and then they performed, and then they performed with all three generations, with the kids and with the kids, the middle age New Edition from the miniseries, and then the actual New Edition, like the old dudes. And let me tell you something, Ralph Tresvant. Ralph looked like, I was rooting for Ralph like Pookie doing jumping jacks in the Carter, because he looked
rough.
He looked like, I don't want to hang with old Eddie Kane. Like, he looked like that, y'all. It was not good.
Mm-mm.
I mean, he had a hat on.
I didn't even recognize that was him at first.
Right? I was like, I hope everything okay with him, because, you know.
Right. And the thing is, normally everybody's concerned about Bobby, but the thing about Bobby knew his spot, because I don't know if people knew on a low, when they did certain things, Bobby took his ass off stage and was like, okay, now I can do this. The rest of that shit wins me out.
Yeah, because last time we saw him, he passed out. And I'm like, we all just rooting for Bobby not to pass out at this point.
Bobby was like, nope, I know my cue. He was like, okay, I do a hot 5 minutes. take a 10-minute break. All right, I'm back for the two-step.
And then after they had everybody on stage, they reminded me of the greatest R&B group of all time, of course, Boys 12.
Yes, Boys 12. It was so beautiful to see them at all that. It was just literally white across the stage, and it was choreographed, and it was really, really beautiful.
Kendrick won an award, then Issa Rae came out looking delicious.
Yes, she did.
But MC Light introduced her as Yara Saidi at first, and I'm like, oh. But, man, Issa Rae. I thought she was fine last year, and some dude had to block him on Twitter because I don't think so. She looked like, nigga, get the fuck out. I don't care what you think. Her skin is motherfucking flawless, number one.
Ain't she
chocolatey? Ain't she? Oh my God, she fine as fuck. Anyway, she was up there representing the award, looking like a snack, of course. They went from like, I want to say they honored, I forget who they honored, but it was like another jam, it was funny because it's like, I remember earlier they had honored women and then went to like, who was it? Was it Future? It was somebody where we was like, or Chris Brown maybe was like, I think that's what, maybe it was Chris Brown performing, whatever it was. It was like, whatever. Anyway, Beyonce won an award. And then she sent her twins from the future to accept the award on her behalf. It was amazing.
Just like her.
I said,
God.
Oh my God. She has a time machine. It explains so much about her and how she's able to handle her business so efficiently.
She know the future.
She been making her albums in the future. That's why you never hear it never leaks and drops. She already made the album years from now. And then she bring the album back to the past. It's a foolproof way to handle the shit.
Yes!
It's amazing. It's, anyway, they came out. Actually, I think it was like those two girls that she has on her label. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the names right now, but,
And I feel like Beyonce, especially, well, y'all speaking on her behalf.
Yeah, well, you know what I thought was cool was, they didn't get to perform this year. She found a way to get them on stage.
Yes, sir.
Remy Ma won an award and she came up and, her first words were, "Are you dumb?" And then she repped for all of the Bronx and then dropped several lines of Sheetha. And I was like, so she did get to perform it. I was right. Mm-hmm. Then DJ Khaled performed. He had earmuffs on his little baby.
Oh, his baby is so precious. Mm-hmm. Like, I love the way niggas get their kids on, because he was like, oh, my baby gonna executive produce this shit, my baby gonna make money before he turn one. And it's one of those things where baby powder blue suit, and they had like a picture of him and his daddy in the same outfit.
No, it wasn't his daddy, it was him and Gucci Mane had the same outfit.
Oh no, he had one with his baby in him. Well, it might not have been for the award show, but I seen.
Yeah, I was gonna say because that Khaled didn't wear a tux; he had jogging suits on all night.
Yeah, so this picture might have been taken like beforehand, but the baby had that same outfit on, and he had an outfit on just like it, and they matched, and it was so precious, and that little baby was everything. And I'm like, how can you hate on this dude? This dude is just so happy and just screamed DJ Khaled.
Yeah, I thought it was dope, the performance and everything. You know, another non-black person fucking with us that, you know, we give him love back, you mm-hmm. know. Chet Hanks was there, and Irv Gotti was promoting some type of show called Tales, where I guess they tell stories from hip-hop songs, but make it into whole ass shows or whatever.
I was so confused.
I was also so confused.
Okay,
guys.
I wanted to be sure I wasn't the only one.
But he also had Chet Hanks up there, but he also had Tammy Rivera up there with a fine ass. Mm-hmm. Oh, Walker, you fool. You poor fool. Anyway.
She's so thin.
She is. But you know what? She stayed, so maybe I'm stupid. Maybe Walker knew what he was doing. I don't know. Anyway, so that happened, and then what else happened? SZA performed. She got to perform two songs.
That was my first time actually ever hearing her, and she was so smooth.
Yeah, she got compared to Erykah Badu. By the way, this is when it was going into overtime. Like, we was over the 11:30 deadline.
Yeah,
for quite some time.
Cause this shit was happening on the West Coast.
Right.
We on East Coast time. So, you know, they time. It's like 9 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Nigga, we pushing midnight over here.
Right. But, she performed. She was dope. My favorite thing about, her was her hair was just like, her hair was so huge. But yeah, somebody compared her to Mary J. Blige. I mean, no, to Erykah Badu. And Erykah Badu retweeted it, was like, slow down. I was like, Erykah's so shady for no reason. Everybody love that girl. Let's see what else happened. I want to say that was pretty much the end. I can't remember if anybody performed after her, but it was basically time to wrap up. And I think Chance performed with Khaled, so yeah, that was about it, man. Then they had the after party, and apparently niggas was fighting.
Oh, I didn't see none of this.
Yeah, well, I mean, they didn't show, I don't think they showed it on TV.
Okay.
Chris Brown and the Migos allegedly fought. Joe Budden allegedly got beat up by the Migos, so I guess the Migos just came to hand out fades.
Whoa, Lord.
Right? It was like, I guess it was out there like raindrop, elbow drop, hitting on a two-piece in the top, top.
went red with the pop pop.
Yeah, they fucked. Apparently they beat her. I didn't even see the videos or whatever. I don't even know what happened, to be honest. I know this is horrible reporting. I went and watched Legends of Chamber Heights after this shit, so I missed it. If it was live, I didn't see it.
These the stuff coming out of the camps, and Legends of Chamber Heights, they Twitter was lit. Whoever runs that a candle is black, because they had their best gifts and they were tweeting right along with everybody else.
They had the Nat turn up. Anyway, it was good. Y'all should all be watching Legends of Chamberlain Heights if you aren't too easily offended, you know. At any rate, man, yeah, allegedly after this joint, Chris Brown recently ordered to go that way whenever Karrueche is around. It seemed obvious that tensions would bubble over between him and her new boo Quavo and his Migos crew, and that's exactly what happened at a BET Awards after the event. According to TMZ reports, the outlet spoke to guests at the event who say Breezy was just finishing the premiere of his video with Future at the party held near Microsoft Theater when Migos entered the event at the same time. As the group neared Chris's entourage, folks got a little testy. Things escalated after sources say someone in Chris's crew pushed Quavo. Another group member reportedly jumped in before catching a fist from someone else. Chris Brown stayed cool throughout it all, continued walking, but witnesses claim the Migos and their crew followed him to his car where he was surrounded. Chris eventually left, but things were definitely heated. By the time police arrived, both crews had departed. Yeah, I'll say this, man. I saw people talking about this this morning and whatever the fuck happened with Joe Budden this morning and shit. And they was using all these big words and talking about, you know, toxic masculinity and, you know, just like, I'm not saying they were wrong or nothing, but I'm not wasting my big words on these niggas. Like, them niggas was fighting. Okay. Like, you know, I'm sure it's emblematic of a lot of shit and it's deep on some level, but I'm not getting deep for them niggas. Them niggas are not worth dissecting all that shit, because all the motherfuckers got some type of problematic shit going on with them in some way. So I was just like, yeah, I get it. Y'all can write the long ass pieces and threads and shit. I was like, I'm checking out at fades were handed out, and that's about as funny as it's gonna get, you know. Glad nobody got killed or anything behind it. I'm glad everybody's safe. But that's it for me. You won't catch me out here caping for anybody involved. I've seen people caping, you know, for Joe Budden, caping for Chris Brown. I was like, none of this shit matters. It's that important. So, but yeah, sorry to not have all the details, y'all, but I really just laughed and moved the fuck on. Like, you know, and that's the thing, you know, Joe and them do that podcast, and they talk a lot of shit, you know, that's his brand.
And people listen.
Hey, you never know when the fuck, like, these niggas who they talking about probably listen to them shows, and they probably you know, rappers, and it's all that ego and shit, man. They probably, it's probably a few people that got fade on site orders for that dude, or cause off of some shit that he said. Cause as much as men try to claim to be above it, niggas are very emotional. They are very easily moved to violence and shit. You know, so I'm surprised almost it took that long for somebody to try to put hands on him, or academics or any of them dudes, cause all the motherfuckers are super fucking sensitive while trying to pretend to be the most macho, brave motherfuckers on the earth, and they all step over the line and talk shit about each other all the time. So it was just a matter of time that somebody was just like, man, I'm willing to catch a case for this shit. So yeah, all right, let's see what else we can do, because that's pretty much all I wanted to do today. Was there anything else? I guess we can do a little bit of, because I don't feel like doing any more fucking with black people. I think that Bruno Mars thing counts.
100.
Yeah, I would say 100, but only because of the phrasing. The first, like, the way that it was framed. Because I really feel like there's a way to express exactly what that lady was saying.
Right.
And people would not take offense to it as much.
Of course.
Because it wouldn't indict and point at them as, like, the problem. And I think we can all agree, at least, that white people's consumption of our shit is always gonna be filled with problems, you know? That's why we really can't look to them to validate shit. Alright, so maybe we'll do some guess the race. How about that, guys? Here we go.
Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time.
That's right, it's time for guess the race, the only game where we go around and we find different articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race of the people involved, and they're all racist. All right, let's get into this. A woman was paralyzed after an orgasm during sex caused a brain hemorrhage.
What?
Yeah, this is y'all always get on us men for, you know, you didn't make me come. Well, maybe we trying to save your life, okay? Maybe we trying to keep you from getting hurt, okay?
What was this?
Maybe that's why we only taking 2-3 minutes, you know, a couple strokes, and we just like, let me stop because I don't want nothing to happen to you, you know. So we got to ease up, right, fellas? Next time your woman says something, just make sure y'all tell her about this cautionary tale before you ask her to make you a sandwich. This is what we need to do. Think we can all agree, Karen, right? So you're a risk. You gonna risk.
Make daddy a sandwich. So you make daddy a sandwich. Daddy want a sandwich. I'm gonna make daddy a sandwich.
You gonna risk permanent injury for a damn orgasm. Really, Karen? Wow. I will take no parts of it. Never again will I. It's only gonna be one person coming in this house from now on, because I have to worry about you and keep you safe. Fellas, let's all take a vow to keep the women in our lives safe. Everyone who has sex with women, everybody, if you're having sex with women, it's time to make a vow. No more orgasms. Mm-mm. Ladies, put the clitoris down. No more orgasms for y'all. Mm-mm. Lucinda Allen from Sturbridge is now confined to a wheelchair after becoming paralyzed down the left-hand side of her body after a headache during sex left her in agony. Oh, so this is one of those, not tonight I have a headache, and he was like, I don't give a fuck. And now, look what y'all did. Take it serious, y'all. The 43-year-old, who was pregnant at the time, was rushed to the hospital and put in a coma while doctors performed a craniotomy to relieve pressure on her brain. 6 days later, she was woken from the coma to find out her baby was unharmed. 3 months later, she gave birth to Mary Alice. She hopes the stem cell therapy may one day help her regain movement, but in the meantime, she wants to raise awareness about the potential warning signs of headaches during sex. Nobody talks about post-orgasm head pain, she said. That's understandable, but I want to raise awareness of how it could be a warning sign. Because of it, I've lost a huge part of me, my career, any siblings my daughter may have had. Lucinda had 5 strokes in total that doctors believe were caused by congenital abnormality in a blood vessel. that also causes her to have headaches at the climax and during sex. Headaches at the sex are believed to be caused by a leak in spinal fluid from the skull into the spine, alleviated by lying down. Some neurologists believe SHA, headache associated sexual activity, can be caused by increased pressure through exertion. Lucinda's neurosurgeon Alessandro Paluzzi said her condition was unusual and caused her to bleed inside the brain instead of on the surface. Guess the race.
Wow, white.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe.
That's some scary shit.
That's what I'm saying. I would never put you in that position, Karen. Never again, I mean. In the words of Clarence Carter, she be stroking white. Aw. Poor snowflake, white, white. Whiter than the nut that nearly killed her. Aw. White. meet the G that killed me, white. The correct answer is white. But you know, for like point, for like 10 minutes, he thought he put it down. You're like, listen, man, after I get up in there, man, she just got to lay down. Like, her whole left side went none for the way I was knocking shit down. You know what I'm saying? I was, you know, when I get up in there, you know, when I say you won't be able to walk, right, when I get done, then it's like, no, this is serious and you need to go to the hospital. Wow. Oh, so it had nothing to do with me? Okay.
Nothing to do with your penis.
Also, there will be horrible advertising to other women.
Right. Right, because you know the thing is, no matter how much people think they put their dick down, you know something 7-8 pounds will come out of that thing. That same hole poking in.
Yeah, somebody. Yeah, he a man, so he probably still brag about it anyway. Joe Spacey, you right? cops, son killed father with a bat on Father's Day.
Well, damn.
Right.
Anything stopping cops or police? Mm-hmm. It's normally a fucked up right after that.
I hope he covered all his bases. Authorities in Pennsylvania are searching for a man suspected of beating his father to death with a baseball bat on Father's Day. Well, that's apropos. He was hitting his dad, take me up to the ball game. Michael Malchalk, 37, is charged with criminal homicide and the death of Gary Malchalk, 60. State police say Michael Malchalk may be driving his father's gold Ford Fusion with Pennsylvania. Also, they ain't caught him yet. Trooper David Bowen says that while they do not know if the suspect is armed, he should be considered dangerous. According to the criminal complaint, another family member, Matthew Malchalk, called the police when he found his father's body on June 19th. Gary Malchalk was lying face down in the bedroom, surrounded by blood, with an aluminum baseball bat at his feet. Matthew Malchalk told police, my brother did this, I know it, and went on to say that his brother Michael had repeatedly threatened their father and has a heroin problem. According to the criminal complaint, the father noticed suspicious bank activities in the hours before the alleged murder, including multiple attempts to withdraw cash, and the ADT home security system allegedly indicated that Michael was the only person with it or out of the home on the night of his father's death. Gary Malchalk was a estranged husband of Linda Malchalk, the treasurer of Pennsylvania County. Wow. Well, guess the race, Karen.
I'm going white.
All right, we'll see if you hit a home run or if you strike out. Matthew Gary White, a real deadbeat dad, White. Oh, man. He did it like this. He did it like that. He did it with a baseball bat, White. Oh. Heroin and baseball is about as white as you can get, says Black Rob. Definitely walked, definitely called dad by his first name, White. Take me out to the ball game, White. So white, gotta say white. Yo, never played enough ball. You never played enough ball with me, dad, White. The correct answer is white. Mm-mm-mm. That's some bullshit right there. That's why you gotta be careful when you deal with these kids, man. You never know when they're gonna go rotten on you.
Aww.
Yep. There he is on the screen. Is that what you thought he would look like?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got a fading hairline there.
Yep. I just feel like the whole thing was foul. All right, let's go to the bonus round, guys. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. So, all right, double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2. But will she be able to finish on top?
We're about to see.
We'll see if it's fair or foul, guys, in the bonus round. Sorry, guys. That was coming way out of left field. Cleveland woman is accused of attacking daughter's boyfriend with a cue ball. A Cleveland woman is accused of hitting a man over the head with a cue ball, says she attacked him to protect her pregnant daughter. Regina Williams, 48, is charged with first-degree felonious assault. Her bond was set at $5,000 during her Monday arraignment, and the case was bound over to Cuyahoga County Grand Jury, according to court documents. The incident began Saturday afternoon at Williams' home and continued at her daughter's home a couple blocks away. Williams and her daughter, who was 8 months pregnant, got into an argument with the daughter's 22-year-old boyfriend. The report says Williams told the police that the boyfriend ripped off her screen door and struck her with a small charcoal grill. Cleveland police were called, but no one was arrested, and the man was sent away. CMHA police were called to the daughter and victim's home later around 2:30 p.m. after a second dispute broke out. The woman told the boyfriend to leave the house, but he refused and went inside to retrieve his things. As he headed outside, Williams struck the boyfriend over the head with an object in a sock. Damn, a cue ball in a sock? Homie, the clown ass, it was this. According to this statement to police, Williams later admitted the item was a cue ball. The boyfriend's 7-year-old son witnessed the attack. They treated the boyfriend for laceration to his head. Williams has no felony convictions in Cuyahoga County. Court records show. Guess the race.
Black.
Karen's going black for Regina Williams. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. Black. 8 ball. Ha! I hear you, Cass. Let's see what else we got. Mama don't play that, black. All right. Full Metal Jacket, black. Black. He lucky she didn't have time to cook grits, black.
Aww.
Damn, Regina, black. Administering the code red, black. The boyfriend wasn't arrested and was free to leave. He had to be white. Well, we got to her right. She the one that got arrested. Inspiration for Bruno Mars music.
Aww.
Aww. Oh my god, y'all can make a joke out of anything. The correct answer is black. She was black. You got it, Karen. You got it right. She was very black.
Woo!
She also got a LeBron James headline going on. Must be something in Cleveland. I don't know what's going on with that.
She did that.
Yeah. All right, let's go. I think someone said white, but I think they were guessing the boyfriend, so I don't know what the race of the boyfriend was.
I don't know the race of the boyfriend.
All right, let's go into sore ratchetness, guys. All right. Let's see here. Sword wielding duo escapes with cash and handphones from the Sandakan Hotel. Two masked men, one of them armed with a sword, robbed a hotel of RM 1,000, whatever measurement of local currency that is, and four hand phones? Are those cell phones?
It must be cell phones.
The hotel's 24-year-old receptionist, who was with her younger sister, heard a loud sound outside the hotel just after midnight on Sunday. Sundarkand Police Chief Assistant Commander Azhar Hamin said when the woman went outside to check, a man armed with a samurai sword rushed in and threatened her. He forced her to hand over the cash box containing the money and the hand phones. As an accomplice entered the reception area, the receptionist and her sister managed to run into a toilet where they locked themselves in. After the robbers had left, the women came out and immediately called security guards who were behind the building, as well as the police. Well, I hope they find those sons of guns. We'll be back tomorrow, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Glad y'all seem to enjoy our BET awards recap. My favorite day.
Yes, sir.
You know, I guess we'll talk to y'all tomorrow, see what you guys, what other shit is happening in the world.
I know
what other takes we can discuss and all that stuff. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.